Welcome, everybody, to All About Symbian Inside 66. And in the background there, you heard our latest low, 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 low budget theme tune provided by Mr. Ewan Spence up in Edinburgh. Are you there, Ewan?
I am, yes. I'm going to take that to Eurovision next year.
Yeah, well, it's probably got a good chance as any. And also from deepest Sussex, we have...
Rafe Blanford.
There we go. So we got the full team available. Plenty of news, plenty of things to discuss. Let's kick off with some news. Worms World Party has been released for N-Gage. Have either of you guys played this?
Yes, I've had a go with this. This has been, I think, one of the games that's been more eagerly anticipated than most. And I had a quick play with it. I think it's it was good enough that it made me go out and buy the full version. And this is for people... Even as young as me, the Worms games were part of our youth, and so being able to play it again on a mobile phone was great, complete with sheep and all the banana bombs, etc., etc. And for those who haven't played it, you have a team of worms, and you basically have to kill the other team of worms by throwing assorted weapons at them. And one of the nice things about this N-Gage version compared to some of the Java versions that have been available is there's online gameplay where you can play with other people anywhere in the world. And certainly that beats playing against the computer. You tend to get different style of gaming when you're playing a human component as opposed to the computer, although the computer is quite strong. But really, it's the humour in it. As I say, there's exploding grannies, homing pigeons that also go bang, surprisingly enough. And it gets full marks for me as an implementation for the game. I think one of the interesting things about it, it isn't one of these, you know, pretty-looking 3D graphics. You know, gameplay is the most important thing on it. And as I say, it's been eagerly anticipated. I think that tells you something about mobile gaming. It doesn't always have to look great and sound great. It's the gameplay that remains most important. How much it will have broader appeal, I don't know. Maybe Ewan's better qualified to answer that question.
I think it's very interesting that there's actually very little difference in terms of presentation beyond the screen size issue from when Worms made an appearance on the original N-Gage platform. And also, yes, it's great to have multiplayer, but it's slightly lacking in the single player. There's very little tutorial. There's a huge assumption that you already know how to play Worms and all the fiddly options and everything. And I think that just does dull the appeal of it very, very slightly. To get those mega game awards, you got to be perfect in pretty much every single area. And Worms does have one or two areas that it needs to build up on, and one of them is it's not that accessible for a brand new user. You could argue that everybody who's playing games should know what Worms is, but I don't think that's going to be necessarily true in territories outside of Western Europe.
I think that's a fair comment. I mean, if you compare it to something like Creatures of the Deep or Reset Generation, it doesn't quite have that same polish, you know, burnishing it to a shine. However, you know, I do think it's one of the better titles we've got on N-Gage at the moment.
Oh, indeed, yes. And it's also because of the name recognition, I think this will actually be one of the bigger sellers. We always talk about that, how you have all these games, but it's the ones that come from the Gameloft and the EAs, the big recognised names in the gaming industry that always seem to be the big sellers from the numbers we get from Nokia. And I think Worms will have a large amount of recognition and will actually be the biggest money earner for N-Gage. Whether it will be the most critically acclaimed, I don't think so.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is here, we had some comment on the site recently about how we should basically just own up to the fact that N-Gage has failed. And there's a certain amount of validity that, and I was told to get off the fence. And I think the thing here is the N-Gage is being compared to the iPhone so frequently, which isn't always a fair comparison. Actually, Worms is a good example of this, where if you're comparing it to the Java game that you get through your operator, the actual install process in terms of you follow the N-Gage icon, download it on your phone and have it all installed for you, the payment is nice and easy, and then you get the game that has this added online multiplayer, which I do think makes quite a big difference. And you look at that and compare that, as I say, to the game portal experience you might get through an operator, and it is much better. Of course, if you compare it to the sort of iPhone App Store approach, yes, there isn't a lot of difference, and you know, you can argue all of these N-Gage games are inferior. Now, there are reasons for that, but there is a point to be made about how Apple have stolen a little bit of the N-Gage thunder by sort of advancing the hardware requirements, i.e. on the iPhone, you are able to do a lot more. and the innovation around the platform because of the App Store, you know, developers are feeling freer to sort of try different things and try things out than they have been with Engage, which is more of a monolithic system, if you like, in the more traditional mold of doing things, where the App Store is a very open marketplace, certainly in one sense. So just to address some of the comments that we've had on the site there while we're mentioning Engage.
Yeah, I feel a bit jilted, actually. So, Rafe was quite happy of an evening to contact me via Skype, and we have a very happy game of the Pro Series Golf on Engage. And now he's flinging banana bombs with people all right across the world, I'm left on my lonesome. But there we go. apparently, there is a new Engage game, a golf game coming out in the very near future, and that's one I've got to my name firmly pegged down to review, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay, moving on with other updates. Google Maps had a big update. At first thought on our site, we thought it was quite a small update with just a few interface tweaks, but the full change log has now come out, and there are some quite significant things under the hood. Version 3.01, which you can get by going to m.google.com and following your nose. For a start, it auto-restarts. This is always a big bugbear of mine, that you start at Google Maps and you perhaps leave it going in the latitude location sending section going in the background. You then restart your phone or something would, for whatever reason, and it wouldn't restart. You'd have to remember to restart it, and that was always a pain. That it now optionally auto-restarts when the phone starts. The backlight now stays on when you're following driving directions and your device is moving faster than a certain preset velocity. So there's a degree of intelligence there now. Yes, due to licensing restrictions, Google Maps for mobile still can't do real-time, turn-by-turn navigation instructions. And I don't think that will ever change, short of the lawyers sorting themselves out. But in the meantime, it's doing everything it physically can to help you navigate in real time. I still think it's downright dangerous to rely on it if you're the only person in a car and you're looking at this fiddly little Google Maps screen and trying to drive the car at the same time. It's still very much a passenger option. But there's plenty of tweaks under the hood, and I thoroughly recommend Google Maps 3.01.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Karen.
As you say, Steve, the updates are really under the hood. But there are a couple of tweaks to the user interface. The connection dialogue has been improved, and they're also using the same style throughout dialogues. And they've actually moved away from using the sort of the S60 standard look and feel to one that sort of fits across Google Maps as a whole, and you'll get it on other platforms as well. And I've always got mixed feelings about that, because it does create a degree of familiarity across platforms. But to be honest, most people want the familiarity across their own platform. So I always think that's the sort of, it has its plus points and its negative points. There's also some interesting things. They've improved the tweaking on cell tower location, which won't necessarily apply to many people if they're using GPS, but it should mean more accurate positioning when you're between two cell towers. And certainly in the city environment, that can be fairly accurate. And so that's another good thing to see, that Google are continuing to sort of get the bits underneath more and more polished, and that really helps the overall sort of feel of the application and just makes it feel a lot slicker. Because, you know, these map applications, there's actually quite a few of them about now from other companies as well, but I still think Google Maps is really setting the pace that others need to follow.
Yeah, it's certainly a must install on any new phone that passes through my hands.
I think the biggest key is whenever I have to turn to a mapping application, certainly when I was in the US, and I still do it over here, although I have both Nokia Maps and Google Maps on my phone, I hit Google Maps first.
That's interesting, Ewan. I've been using both, and I've actually been using Google Maps to find locations, because the sort of search functions inside Nokia Maps, for some things aren't very good. But I've been tending to switch back to Nokia Maps just because it does give me the turn-by-turn instructions, certainly when driving, but even when in pedestrian mode, I just find it works slightly better for me. But as you say, you know, it does have the advantage, obviously, of being free, whereas I've paid for a Nokia Maps license. And it just goes to prove, I think, you're making that point, which for a lot of people, paying for a service which they can get for free elsewhere isn't always going to work.
Yeah, it's worth noting that Nokia Maps search, the online servers are currently in a state of brokenness, and Nokia apparently know all about it, and there is a fix in place, but it's taking forever for them to implement it. So one side effect of that is that things you search for just don't get found. In the UK, well, utterly frustrated that full 7-character postcodes which was working fine last year, has suddenly stopped working and has now been not working for over a month. And I just think this is just horrifically unacceptable. Yeah. So more power to the Google Maps in the meantime. Hopefully Nokia Maps can sort it out together. I suspect it's to do with the version 3 coming out of beta and being released, and everything will be resolved once that's finally out. So watch this space. Filed under the category of watch this space, I guess, is the Samsung Omnia HD Ambassador Program, which we reported on previously. I've just looked on the website, Rafe, and it now says... this is the program where you can apply to be an Omnia HD ambassador, then they send you a device and then you write about it and tell your friends about it, etc., if you're accepted into the program. I think there was 100 Omnia HDs up for grabs, something like that. Anyway, the timescales have now, I think they've been changed. It now says mid-April to end of June. Wasn't this originally just throughout April, Rafe?
I think originally it was the beginning of April, and I suspect there's been a slight delay in the devices, and so they probably... push back the program. But I would have thought within the next few weeks we'll hear more about that, and we'll probably start seeing a lot more Omnia HD content online. But of course you can already find a three-part preview of the Omnia HD on allaboutsimia.com. plug.
Hold on, I've got
question for Rafe here, right? Why can't most S60 phones play the BBC's new all singing all dancing and yet quite low res live TV streams? If you go to the BBC's mobile website, as reported on All About Symbian, on, for example, the N96 or the R5800, you now get shoved through to watch any of the BBC Freeview channels, which is about 7 or 8 channels, live, real time, for free. If you try and do it on any previous device, you just get device unsupported. What's the technical reason here why most S60 phones can't do this, Rafe?
So for any device that is S60 third edition feature pack 1 or earlier, the reason for this is they can't be sure that when passing over the URL or the streaming URL to RealPlayer that the access point will remain the same and be on Wi-Fi as opposed to 3G. And because of a bill shock issues, and that's to say it will cost you money, they don't want consumers phoning up complaining that watching live TV has cost them a lot of money. There are a few operators where they're sort of doing stuff, but I don't think it applies to the live TV yet. The live TV is sort of still in beta, so that may change in due course, but that sort of access point problem between web and RealPlayer will remain. So it may well be that we'll never see these Feature Pack 1 devices supported. On the Feature Pack 2 devices, I suspect the reason is merely that because it's still in beta, they're trying it out, and they've just chosen a few devices. And typically they'll choose what they think are likely to be the most popular devices running this service. So, for example, I'm sure the N96 has been chosen because of its ability to decode video in a power-efficient way, as well as having a big screen and a stand that you can put you can stand it on, so you can watch TV without having to hold onto the device. Similarly with the 5800, it's got the big screen, which makes it better, I don't know, watching TV when you've got a bit more screen space. Will the other devices be supported in time? I would have thought so, but with something like a beta test, it makes sense to keep a relatively limited device range, at least to start with, and I'm sure the BBC will be listening to feedback in terms of wanting it on more devices.
Yeah, I suspect that...
Pin there on two issues. The first one is bill shock is true, because you may remember a while back, I think I discussed it, this actually did happen to me, that the access point had switched over, not in the web browser, but in the Flash player when I was watching a YouTube video. Luckily, I have one of those bills where it caps or says you're not going to go above £1.50 a day in terms of your data charges. So I can understand that, but I have to say that... One of the things that I found with the Nokia 5800 and the fifth edition while I was out in America was the amount of applications and times that I had to go in and just constantly reconnect to the same network or the same Wi-Fi hotspot because of the connection dialogues have been reworked with their destinations, with the, oh, you're not allowed to change them, so you have to stop the web browser so you can open up a third-party application.
It's worth pointing out this tends to be because the third-party applications and indeed a number of Nokia applications don't actually support the destinations format for access points, and if that's the case, you will get some problems. So often with third-party application developers, or you could say it's with Nokia because they've changed the way things work, but I think we'd probably all agree that having destinations rather than not having destinations is a big improvement. It's just taking a while for applications to catch up, and I've seen a few of the Nokia applications. I think a good example is Mail for Exchange has recently been updated to support destinations, and hopefully that problem will go away in time, but I agree it is very irritating.
It's also very unclear as to how it works for a new user.
Yes.
I prefer the old way because I've been old sticking about it, and I've just lumped every connection into one destination and run it the same way as I run the old ones. But it's really unclear in the help files. And look, it confused me, little poor man from Scotland. Only Rafe understands it.
Yeah, and to be fair, until we get sort of the bare independent stuff inside the OS, which is what Symbian call freeway, I think it is, it's not really going to improve that situation. It's the same with any mobile device. The frustration is you're using Wi-Fi and then you want to swap to another access point or a different Wi-Fi hotspot, and it just doesn't really handle it very well. And all that sort of thing should be handled intelligently and seamlessly by the operating system, but no one does it yet, and you're going to have to wait until I suspect probably Symbian to the power 2 or 3 release before we actually see that in phones. But it is coming, and that bare independent connectivity is what it's referred to as, will I think be a very welcome change when we finally sort out all this connection stuff.
Yeah, I have I'm loath to open up things to the hacking community, but there's got to be some sort of workaround for older phones, given that these BBC TV streams are just that, real player video streams. I'm sure some enterprising listener out there has got the time in their hands to dig deep, and they'd produce a little tiny a file or a lookup or an HTML launching page.
It is quite possible, and if you do want to do this, the thing you need to investigate is changing over the user agent of the web application, and there are a number of Python applications that do this, but obviously you do it at your own risk and you have to watch out for the bill payment stuff. But you need to change over the web browser, use something like the N96 or the 5800 user agent string, and if you don't understand what that means, you can try googling it, or it's probably not worth bothering with, but that will enable you to watch these BBC streams and indeed use the BBC iPlayer on phones other than those which are officially supported. So it's already been done, Steve. There's people out there have been merrily changing configurations to make it work, so it's not really a technical issue in one sense. It's just making sure that you know, the average person is protected from running up big charges, or keeping a limitation on the number of devices while it's in the testing phase.
Never mind the average user. I just want to watch The Apprentice on my N82. Talking about the N82, you had a question for me about phones in the real world. What was that all about?
Yeah, I just found it interesting. And here we're talking about the latest phones. We don't have the Omni HD yet, the user agents on the 5800. Yet when you went out into the wilds recently, Easter, you had an N82. When I went around the US, the second phone I had was the N95 8 gig. And the fact that we're going back two or three generations in our cases, when we need a phone that can just pick up and go. So even though you can buy the newer phones such as the 5800, the N96, and so on, we're going for the old ones. Now, is that us just being wizened old men stuck in our ways, or do you have a more practical reason for that, rather than being, I'm old? Because really, when you talk to people, that's my reason for having the N95 8 gig, because it still runs old bits of software and it still links to old bits of software in the PC.
Yeah, I know, LifeBlog,
yeah, and other stuff.
For me, the big reason, and I did document this in my N82 on a belated pedestal article on the site last week, that the big reasons for me are the fact that this classic platform, the N95, N95 8 gig, N82 and E90, those four phones, they all had this, for a start, the OMAP 2 based graphics acceleration. I know I keep going on about that, but it makes such a big difference when you're talking about playing back multimedia, playing games. The frame rate on some of the 3D games is dramatically different on this class device. On the N82 in particular, you've also got the Xenon Flash 9. That's something else I rant about a lot because it makes a huge difference. And like all the people who commented at the foot of my article, once you've tried a Xenon Flash in your everyday camera phone, especially as the phone is the camera you're going to take with you to the pub in the evening or to the restaurant or off to the party, you're not going to take your £300 super all singing all dancing Samsung. You're going to have something that fits in your pocket, that's really small, unobtrusive, and if you spill the odd drink over it, it probably won't matter that much. As Ray finds out, liquid sand phones can sometimes mix with terrible results. But it's
we do those experiments, so you don't have to.
Indeed. So you know, you take a camera phone to a party or a pub, and you want something that's going to produce decent results. And the only flash technology which will produce even halfway decent results down the pub, at a party, at a restaurant, anything after dusk, is something with Xenon Flash. And the only S60 phone of note, it's the N82 from Nokia, and that's why I keep going back to it. There was also the fact that the video recording has been crippled on all the recent devices to not be focused properly. They've chosen to focus it on infinity for people, you know, taking on those seaside shots and shots of the mountains, the wind in the trees. But most of the time, people want to shoot people, other people, and they don't want to shoot people who are half a mile away. They want to shoot people that are right next to them. I just do not understand that either. So for all those reasons, very practical reasons, the N82 was my phone of choice. What was the main reason for the N95 for you, apart from the life blog factor?
The big one looking down on it is the keyboard. The fact that I can actually pick up the keys on this, and I've got a huge amount of muscle memory on that keyboard, and they're separate keys, and the design as well, it's a nice light size. It's still relatively small when it's closed up. The camera powers up really quickly, and it's probably still the best interface for any of the N-Gage games. None of the other handsets, especially the ones with the sort of N-series styled round cursor, have a decent gameplay joystick.
Yeah. It remains to be seen whether the upcoming N86 8 megapixels solves some of these problems. I know it hasn't got Xenon Flash, but it has got what's referred to as third generation dual LED flash, so hopefully it'll be a bit brighter, and it's got the separate keys as on the original N95. I don't know much about the D-pad yet, but we'll find out when we get it. But the N86 8 megapixel may just be the device that keeps us both happy for the time being. Any other factors you wanted to mention, Ewan?
I don't know. To be honest, on the N86, given that it's really an upgrade in the same styling as the N85, I'm not hopeful.
Oh dear, it's grumpy old men who are stuck on their old devices. But I mean, seriously, it does make a point that it depends on what you're using it for and what the factors are in your kind of, we've referred to this before, but your equation of value. And for a lot of people, I think it especially applies to high-end people who are, you know, creating or consuming a lot of multimedia. The older devices with the, as you say, the OMAP 2 chipset in them do offer better performance. I personally, feel that some of the more recent devices have things that are worth it in terms of feature pack 2 bringing the performance benefits and over-the-air firmware updates and, you know, that kind of thing.
USB 2.
Does make a difference. Yeah, USB 2. And that all that sort of thing makes
it. OLED screen.
Yeah, you know, and there's physical characteristics as well. It is an interesting point that, you know, these devices have remained popular. You're not the only ones. I think the only trouble I have with these older devices is they're less friendly to novice users, and that's because the software has improved in recent times, and it's been more about, you know, making them more approachable in one sense than those older devices. What will be interesting to see is with the sort of the next generation, with the N97 coming in, how much that will then stick, because that offers significant performance improvements. And I think also, you know, when we do see the move up to the next generation of chipsets, which is starting to happen down the bottom with devices like the E55 and the 5630, but we'll also presumably see the same thing at the top end, and those, you know, future N series devices may well offer you a similar level of performance for multimedia once they have the graphics co-processors back, but that remains to be seen. For me personally, I've actually been using the E series devices along with a 5800, and that's worked for me, but I did pick up the N95 8GB the other day because I wanted to do some testing of something that was feature pack 1 only. I did marvel sort of how nice the screen was and how the keyboard was, and I do miss it as a device, but it's just not enough there to tempt me back full time.
The reason you're not using it as a device surely has something to do with its tumble into a brook.
Well, yes, but it survived that absolutely fine. Actually, admittedly, the camera seems to have been at your site, although trying it out recently, that seems to have been a lot less, and maybe it's dried out a little bit more.
Okay.
But actually, as you can probably tell from the fact that I'm using E-Series devices, camera doesn't matter all that much to me. It's probably worth saying that I'm pretty lucky in that I'll have access to more than one device, and that's not true of most people, I'd imagine. So I'll have an E-Series device for sort of email and keeping in touch and voice stuff, and then I'll carry another N-Series device around or have it available when I'm going out, you know, just for a relaxed evening or, you know, just, you know, for a walk or something. I take it with me, and then I can use the camera and whatever functionality I want to. And in that, the N85 is sort of remaining in there for that kind of job, at least at the moment.
Yeah,
it's worth pointing out to our listeners that that's not Rafe sitting on the fence. That's Rafe actually looking at the entire range of mobile phones and showing that there are other options.
Thank you, Ewan.
Yeah, it's also worth mentioning cost as a factor, and that some of these classic devices, like the N95 Classic and the N82, are actually at rock bottom prices now on the new market and second-hand market. Nokia recently last week had the N82 up for £200, including sales tax, which is just outstanding for a SIM-free price. And I was browsing eBay last week trying to find a black N82, funnily enough, which I know are rare as hen's teeth, because I think only Orange had them in the UK. So trying to find one on the second-hand market is just very, very rare. And I found one. I got it on eBay for £151, the black, and there were silver N82s going for around about the £100 mark. And to get something which is still basically for a power user, the pinnacle of the S60 smartphoning, for £100 to £150, either new or nearly new, on the eBay, I think it's just an incredible value.
You certainly got a good bargain there, although I would point out that most people don't buy their phones SIM-free and they're still getting them via their operator. So actually, I suspect the reason for many people are on looking to N85s or whatever is that's what's currently being ranged by the operators. And so when they get their upgrade, they want their free phone, and that's what they go for, rather than making a conscious purchase decision on to the N82 or N95. It would be quite interesting to see how many people, you know, get one of these new devices yet go back to their older device, because, you know, with the 18-month or 12-month life cycle on most contracts, that certainly will be an issue.
Yeah, well, certainly a lot of the N82s I was looking at were people selling them because they'd had an upgrade via their operator in exactly that scenario. So as you say, it'll be interesting to see if any of the people then think, oh, I wish I hadn't sold that N95 or N82. Talking of phone colours, I think both Rafe and I were just chatting yesterday about how sexy some black phones can look. With the N95 8GB and the black N82. You had a few musings recently on your E75 video blog. So just to put the question to you, what colour should a phone be?
I think that when you had the old interchangeable colours on the original N-gauge, I think that was the best thing ever, because the color of the phone, now that these are getting away from tech choice, the high-end phones for the geeks, I think, are always going to be black and silver, because they go with pretty much anything, but they don't do stand out, they don't allow for fashion. And when you go in and the interchangeable covers, the themes and everything, they just provide such a different range of personality. Nokia have always made a strong point of saying that the S60 allows you to personalize your own phone, things like themes, the desktops, your ringtones, even to the down to the individual icons that you can run on applications. Yet we're only now starting to see them going back again and playing with the theming of the outside of a device. The E75 kicked this off, really, because my one supplied by Nokia for a couple of weeks is red, a very sort of deep cherry red. But it really does make the phone not only stand out, but feel warm, feel different. And it, it just lends a much better blend of subtlety and power. The N95 looks rather like a tank, to be honest. It's great, it's square, it's angular, it's black on the 8GB version, it's muscular, it just looks like a Ford Escort. Whereas you look at something like the E75, it looks like a Lotus Elise with this nice red styling, a little bit of hint of curves, a smooth movement on it. It's a difference between, you know, Diana Rigg and Patrick McGee.
Well, I'd just nod and say I pretend to know who those people are, of course. I would point out, Ewan, that, you know, the E75 colour variants, I mean, you're right, the red and the bronze is a new one, but I think that kind of started with the black and white E71 and E66, and the Expresson covers, which I think the 3650 was the first S60 phone to have them, and we're now getting them in the sort of spruced up version on the N79, the intelligent Expresson covers that also change the theme. You know, when you buy an N79, you get three different covers for the phone. And, you know, personally, I agree with you. It's something I really love because I think that kind of customization of the device itself in some ways makes almost more sense than being able to customize themes on the device itself. Obviously, you can't take the personalization quite so far because, you know, people like to maybe have a picture of their pet or their, you know, pet llama as their background wallpaper. But, you know, being able to change the colour of the phone itself, I do think is a smart thing. And I'd love to see more of that sort of thing. And actually, I think that's where something like the nanomaterials could be really cool. You could have the phone cover change on the basis of temperature or passing a different electrical current through it. And, you know, suddenly change your phone from being red to, you know, sky blue, pink or whatever it happens to be.
You've been watching that new version of Knight Rider, haven't you?
No. What's Knight Rider?
Oh, Ray. You could have a Chameleon Express song cover, which actually changed and faded into the background or whatever the phone was resting on. Although people might lose their phones more often. my daughter really appreciated Express On. I had a Nokia 6630, which I loved for a year or so, about 2003 or so. And I had a black cover and a silver cover and a white cover, and I buried the look. As soon as my daughter inherited it, it then became bright pink with swirly bits, and on top of that she stuck jewels and puppies and phone charms, and you would not believe what my Nokia 6630
me lucky charms.
So yeah, there is a huge market for this, and I'm with the other guys. I'd love to see more use of interchangeable fashion covers. I thought that was a
great title. Those sort of markets, just to roll this back in, it's those sort of markets that phone operators love to have their phones to have, because it provides continued sales in their stores. It means they can add things in bills. It means that people are churning the case of the phone rather than the electronics of the phone, which keeps their ARPU much higher. And it's as long as devices like that are being made by the manufacturers such as Nokia, they will always be in the pole position in the stores for those upgrades to keep the high volume numbers going. I mean, the whole part, you know, I suspect a lot of people listening to this going, what do we want charms and dogs and pink cases for? It's actually incredibly important when you're selling millions of phones a week.
Yeah,
absolutely. And of course, you know, just to be really evil here, we can tie it back into the Ovi store, because we've now got this chameleon cover on our N, whatever it happens to be, or the E, whatever it happens to be. You go onto the Ovi store and to your operator portal and you say, oh, look at this, you know, new cover. It's, you know, Dalmatian shade or something. You download it, install it, and all of a sudden your phone changes to be black and white and spotty.
See, the only problem with that is if Nokia do that in the Ovi store, then they will be labelled as money-grabbing Finnish shysters who have no idea, and why do I have to pay for this again and again, and it will be hacked immediately. If Apple were to do it...
Yes, well, I think we better avoid that topic, because we all want to live through the next week or so without having to respond to thousands of bits of feedback. As much as we do love getting feedback, though, so yes, please send it all to rafe@allaboutsymbian.com, or just use our generic contact form and I'll make sure it gets to the right person.
Yeah, don't send the complaints and the comments to you and Ari, because we never read them.
Well, we do read them. The reply may be quite short, though. You're wrong.
Okay, and on that note, I think we're running out of time as well, so can I draw a line under things, and we'll be back next week with lots of interesting smartphone discussions. But for now, it's goodbye from me, Steve Litchfield.
Goodbye from me, Rafe Blanford.
And goodbye from me, Ewan Spence.
There we go. See you next time.